The impeachment inquiry into President Trump's July 25th phone call with the Ukrainian president could hinge on whether President Trump's request to have Ukraine investigate Joe Biden amounts to a campaign finance violation. Joining us now to talk more about that is Trevor Potter, who's president of the Nonpartisan Campaign Legal Center. He is a Republican, former chair and member of the Federal Election Commission. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Well, and here's what the law states about contributions from a foreign citizen. It says it shall be unlawful for a foreign national, directly or indirectly, to make a contribution or donation of money or other thing of value, or to make an express or implied promise to make a contribution or donation in connection with a federal, state, or local election. Now, there's been a lot of talk about whether there was a quid pro quo. But isn't just the president asking the Ukrainian president for a favor involving his political rival, Joe Biden, and his son, Hunter Biden, isn't that in itself illegal under campaign finance law?
The answer to that is yes. Obviously, that request has all sorts of other implications for foreign policy and the role of the president. But just looking at it narrowly as a campaign finance matter, what happened in that conversation is that the president, who is a candidate and has a campaign, asked a foreign government, which is included in the definition of a foreign national, for a favor, for help, in a way that would benefit his campaign, harm his opponent. And that is a classic case of requesting a expenditure and from a foreign national, and that would fit within the ban on soliciting foreign national contributions or taking anything of value. Here it's really the solicitation of them of something of value, which would be this international governmental investigation by the Ukrainian government.
Do you think that it would be argued that that's not a thing of value?
That, we're told by the press leaks, is the position that was taken by one branch of the Department of Justice. I think not so much that it's not a thing of value as that they were unsure how to value it. What is the estimated value? And that's relevant to justice because for a criminal investigation, they have thresholds to meet. Something has to be $2,500 or more for a misdemeanor offense, $25,000 or more for a felony offense. There are two aspects of that, though. One is you could have a violation of federal election law that's civil, not criminal, that would be pursued by the FEC without a threshold. Secondly, it's inconceivable that any sort of government investigation by the Ukrainian government wouldn't meet both of those thresholds. So it looks as if the Justice Department simply didn't want to get into valuing it and said, since we don't know how to value it, we're going to say this is not met. In their case, of course, they've got the double complication because they have a long-term policy that predates the Trump administration that says a president cannot be criminally charged while in office. And a sort of related question of, does that mean he can't be criminally investigated while in office? So they had a real incentive to say, oh, no, 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 this is not a legal campaign finance violation because otherwise – they're stuck with, well, what do we do with it?
Well, but in that case, then, the campaign finance laws could never be violated by a sitting president who is going to be a candidate a lot of the time.
Well, the Justice Department position, I think, is that they could not be charged with a criminal violation while president, but they could be charged with it when they leave office, point one. And point two, certainly that the FEC has its own responsibility and is not covered by that Justice Department policy, and it could investigate it as a civil violation. That would require Justice to refer it to the Federal Election Commission. When they got the whistleblower complaint, there is no evidence that they have done that.
Well, and in fact, the Justice Department under Attorney General William Barr initially blocked Congress from receiving the whistleblower complaint against President Trump because, quote, there was no campaign finance violation and that therefore no further action was warranted.
Right. And if they are determining there is no campaign finance violation based on the idea that they can't value the thing of value that was requested, then they wouldn't refer it to the FEC because they would have had this fundamental view that the law wasn't broken here, which I think is wrong.
What about the bigger picture here, though? It seems like the U.S. does not prosecute campaign finance violations very often, and that people can get away with things. We know that in 2013, the 2008 Obama campaign was fined $375,000 for fundraising reporting violations, one of the largest fines ever against a presidential campaign, but that was way after the election.
There is an underlying problem here, which is Congress created the FEC precisely to deal with what I would call sort of the garden variety campaign finance violations rather than criminalizing them. The problem we have is that the FEC has in recent years been very ineffective at this. It has been deadlocked on a partisan basis with the three Republican commissioners basically not wanting to enforce the law against either party, feeling that it's intrusive, I think not being committed to it philosophically. So they've prevented the commission from acting in many cases, even against Democrats.
Okay, so we've talked about some of the problems with enforcement. How common do you think violations are, campaign finance violations?
In my experience now going back a while, it's fairly common that there are what I'd call honest mistakes. You add up your numbers wrong. You put something in the wrong report. You don't take the efforts you're supposed to go find the correct names or occupations of your contributors required by law. I think it is much rarer that there is a organized attempt to violate the law. Unfortunately, the fact that the FEC is now ineffective, deadlocked, and by the way, currently doesn't even have a quorum, it takes four commissioners to act, and the fourth commissioner resigned about a month ago. So there are only three sitting there now. They actually legally cannot do anything. All of that raises, I think, the likelihood that someone will do something they know is impermissible on the basis that they're not going to be found out, they're not going to be pursued.
So back to where we are now, we talked about the president's phone call with the leader of Ukraine and him asking for a favor, and that being, in your view and the view of many others, a campaign finance violation very clearly. There are other questions too, including those involving the president's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, and his role. What are you looking at there from a campaign finance violation point of view?
I think his role here is really troublesome and very problematic because, first of all, he says he's representing the president personally. He's not a government official. He's not part of the State Department, so he's not filing any of the financial disclosure forms that a U.S. government representative would be required to file. As a result, we don't know who is paying him. He's a lawyer in private practice. He says he's not charging the president for any of this work. But he is reported on the public record to have a number of clients, including some Russians and some Ukrainians. So when he's over there working with the Ukrainian government and calling on the U.S. State Department to do things for him, who is he representing? Is he representing the foreign governments, foreign nationals? If he's representing the President of the United States in any sort of official way, then he ought to be a State Department temporary employee. They don't have to get paid to be that, but then they disclose what their sources of income are and who they're representing, and they'd have ethics obligations in terms of not representing somebody else while they are acting on behalf of the U.S.
So who's supposed to do something about that? The FEC, which doesn't have a quorum?
Well, that's of course, the first problem. It starts with the State Department, the State Department Inspector General, its ethics officers, but they're stuck with the fact that he claims not to be a State Department person. I think the answer is that the entity that will do something about that will be the House of Representatives in its current inquiry, where they will want to know who he was representing, who else he was representing, who was paying him for the activity we now know he was engaged in Ukraine.
That is Trevor Potter, former commissioner of the FEC and now president of the nonpartisan Campaign Legal Center. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much.